Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 19th year. This podcast is sponsored by iGamingPlayer.com, the premier affiliate marketing site that delivers quality players to your online casino, sportsbook, or poker room with transparency and integrity. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we sit down with Scott Krieger, the president of Red Rock Resorts, the parent company of Station Casinos, about the new Durango Casino Resort that opened in late 2023 to rave reviews. Station Casinos hadn't opened a new casino since the Red Rock Resort debuted in 2006. But the company has embarked on an aggressive expansion plan that started with the grand opening of the Durango Casino Resort in Las Vegas in December of 2023. Scott Krieger has been president of Station Casinos for 5 years and is directing this campaign of growth for the company throughout the Las Vegas Valley. It's Krieger's second time around with Station, and according to him, he's back home for good. Durango has opened to rave reviews and is located in a previously underserved region of Las Vegas. He spoke with me in a suite in the Durango for the cover story of the April issue of the magazine. Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. My guest today is Scott Krieger, the president of Red Rock Resorts and Station Casinos. Scott, thanks for joining us today. It's great to see you. What an incredible property this is.
Well, Roger, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure. I know we go back to the Atlantic City days, right. Yeah. So it's good to see you again.
Absolutely.
So we're here at Red Rock, yeah. Or Durango.
Right.
And this is our newest property. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your kind comments. We opened up early December. The property's been a real hit our customers, and so we're super excited about the performance so far.
Well, obviously, you hope something like this would happen, but did you really anticipate the real positive feedback you get from this?
Well, let's go back to the kind of business and economics piece of it.
Right.
This area we felt like was underpenetrated.
Right.
So we've held this land for about 20 years, mm-hmm. believe it or not. We've been looking at the demographics, right. looking at the growth out here, and it's one of the highest growing areas of the valley. The demographics mm-hmm. are off the charts, and there's really no competition within a 5 mile radius.
Right, right.
So from a business perspective, mm-hmm. It was a great opportunity
sure.
for us. From a customer feedback perspective, we're overjoyed.
Yeah.
So we always try to do something unique and different,
right.
property to property.
Mm-hmm.
We take the best parts of what we learned from the last property, and that was Red Rock.
Sure.
And then we kind of grow on that, and you know, we always want to keep our customers
sure.
interested in what we're doing. And
right.
so a lot of positive feedback.
Mm-hmm.
So some surprises. Our new race and sportsbook format,
mm-hmm.
which is taking race and sportsbooks into a more experiential
right.
format,
mm-hmm.
Has been a huge success
right.
with the combination of entertainment,
mm-hmm.
restaurant, sportsbook. Our table games offering is the best in the city.
Sure.
And you know, that's doing quite well. And then our food and beverage program has been really well received. So
right.
we spent a lot of time
sure.
selecting our partners,
mm-hmm.
And especially our food hall.
Yeah.
So the unique characteristics of our food hall, where some of it's counter QSR, some of it's sit-down restaurant,
sure.
and the tenants that we have,
right.
Really successful.
Right. Well, Station always has really understood its customers. I mean, starting with, you know, Palace Station, on the Strip, right off the Strip, and through Red Rock, and now through Durango, you seem to understand what they want, and certainly with the reaction, you prove that again. How do you predict what's going to work for them, though?
Well, you started out, you hit it on the mark.
Mm-hmm.
It starts from 47 years of being in the business,
right.
and it starts with Frank and Lorenzo Petita's father
right.
creating the first off-strip locals casino 47
mm-hmm.
years ago. The brothers worked in the business.
Sure.
They grew up in the business. We have all been with Station Casinos for quite some time,
right.
the executive committee. And be honest, we're locals serving locals. So we live
right.
in these
sure,
communities
right.
that we service. So that goes a long way. It's 47 years of interacting with your customers, listening to your team members and what they think is the right thing to do, and then just learning from property to property.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really a development company.
Sure.
a lot of gaming companies grow through acquisition. Mm-hmm. We have a growth pipeline that is bricks and mortar development.
Right.
So every time we do a property, it's us on the drawing board, sure, across from the designers, articulating what we want. And, you know, there's some fundamentals. Mm-hmm. Starts with a great site.
Right.
So most of our sites and most of our development sites are right on major arterial freeways. Mm-hmm. Ingress, egress, how easy is it to get into the property? What are the adjacencies at the property? Mm-hmm. Those are kind of the fundamental pieces.
Sure.
And then how you create energy and excitement in the property is the fun stuff.
Right.
Like,
right,
what food tenants do you have? What product offerings do you have? In our future phases of Durango, which we plan, we really want to create some new reasons to come to the property. So Red Rocks, you know, about 5 miles up the road, it has its complement of amenities. We're looking to bring new amenities to the Durango project as we grow master plan phases.
Right. So you've got a design team in-house. You also work with the Friedmeter Group architects, for the planning. How do they, like you said, this one is bright and airy, and you got some new things here that you haven't seen in other station projects. How do you go about figuring out what you're going to put into each project?
Well, I can't take a lot of credit for this because I got to tell you, it starts with a founder's mentality.
Right.
It starts with Frank and Lorenzo Fertitta and their passion for design, an absolute passion. Secondly, we have a gentleman on our staff who's a dear friend and I've worked in the business with for 25 plus years, Albie Collado, who was originally a principal at Friedmutter.
Right.
He's now our in-house design person. So we literally, 2 days a week, are dedicated purely to design and development in the company. We sit across the table from each other. We lay out plans. We go over every aspect of what we do. The design eye really comes from Frank and Lorenzo and Albie. I think we do some of the best stuff in the business.
Yeah, no question about it. So one other hurdle you had to overcome was finding enough employees. When you first started this, it was a difficult time to find employees. But you got enough, and there seem to be really clued in right now.
Well, thanks. I agree with you. Mm-hmm. It was an interesting time. We were kind of going through the choppiness of the job market and inflation in the wage area, and we were opening at the same time Fountain Blue opened.
Yep.
So a couple things in our favor. One, our culture and our reputation in town as being a best-in-class employee. Mm-hmm. And to be a best-in-class employer isn't, it's a myriad of things. One, you've got to have a great compensation and benefits package, which we do. Best in the business, you know. Secondly, we hire 90% full-time.
Mm-hmm.
So whereas other casinos run maybe 60% full-time, we believe in the relationship between our team members and our customers.
Mm-hmm.
So we want full-time employees that are dedicated to the company, that get to know our customers. Over a full third of our employee base has a tenure over 10 years.
Okay.
So that's a piece of it.
Right.
So great benefits. We give free health care to every team member and their family under $100,000 of salary.
Okay.
Don't pay anything.
Yeah.
So that's piece of it. The culture of the company is a piece of it. And then lastly, we just had a lot of fun with the campaign.
The campaign was really fun. It was just it looked like it was going to be a fun place to work.
And it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm going to admit and kind of put myself in the older guy category. We have some new young executives in the company that are very skilled at social media. And how to connect with, let's say, a younger audience. And I'm learning alongside of them. But our social media effort and the fact that we went and had some fun with it really broke through the market. We had, just statistics-wise, we had about 30,000 applications for 1,700 jobs. So
that's
it was
amazing. So
it
you could pick and choose the best, I guess.
Yeah, and I just, you know, it's the team.
Our
marketing and advertising and PR team did a great job with
it. Yeah, great. So you mentioned the benefits. I mean, and as you said, you're the best in the industry. Why do you do that? I mean, you don't have to step up that high.
Yeah, so, you know, we spent about 5 years ago, we decided to take the company in a different direction. And Las Vegas was highly promotional at the time. And it's like a hamster wheel, right? And we made a conscious decision across our whole company platform to get out of the free toaster business.
Right.
Not entirely.
Sure.
You know, every casino has its level of promotionary activity. But we felt like there was better ways to spend our money.
Mm-hmm.
We felt like there was better ways to connect with our customer and create loyalty.
Right.
And two areas that we focused on was, one, our team members. Because over time, we know that our team members make that day-to-day connection with our customers.
Sure.
Right? So happy team members that are passionate to be working for you, that represent the company in good light, equates to good customer relationships and customer satisfaction, right? So we invested in healthcare programs. We have free medical centers. The fourth one just opened today at Palace Station.
Okay.
On-premise medical centers. Two 401k programs. We've been voted 3 years in a row Nevada's top workplace company. 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
Fortune accolades as well. And so really investing in the team member for us is a core principle.
Right.
The second piece is investing in our product. So whether it's a new developed project like Durango or whether it's our existing properties, putting money back into our properties to make sure they're clean, to make sure they're safe, and to make sure they're relevant. And so when I say relevant, you've got to create new reasons for people to continue to come.
Sure.
So our core customer comes to our properties about four times a month.
Okay.
So we invest in new restaurant products, new amenities.
Mm-hmm.
So we just put in all new high limit rooms, Santa Fe, Red Rock, GVR, the Durango project. We put in restaurants, three new restaurants at Red Rock. Two new restaurants are coming online this month at Green Valley Ranch, Boulder Station. So we think that the combination of investing in your team members, investing in your facilities and your product, really trumps a free toaster over time.
Right? No question about that. So Durango is just the first of several resorts that you have planned. What are the timeline for those, and what are the other areas where, that you've got plans for?
I'm glad you asked me, because my passion
is
development since I came back to the company. We've got the best development story in the business, bar none. We own all of our assets. We own all of our land. And this goes back to us as a company being real estate junkies a long time ago. We have no problem holding a future development site for over 20 years.
Right.
Like I said, Durango was 20 years of development site before we built on it. We own all of the entitled gaming development sites that are left in Las Vegas.
Okay.
So we have six future development sites. All of them are in high net worth, high growth areas, and on major arterial freeways. So we have a development pipeline, which is very robust, which you might have heard me talking about, that over the next 10 years, our goal is to develop all of that, which would more than double the size of the company. But at the same time, we believe in reinvesting in our existing properties. So when you look at Red Rock, when you look at Sunset, when you look at Green Valley Ranch, these properties continue to have year-over-year compounding revenue and EBITDA increases. And so investing back into these properties is super important. So we're looking at a full remodel of Sunset. We're looking at a full remodel of Santa Fe. We're doing a whole new room remodel and basically a complete casino remodel of Green Valley Ranch. So we've got a lot of projects on the docket. We keep, as I mentioned, Albi Collado, we keep him busy.
Sure,
so,
no question about that.
Again, you know, that goes to, one, us developing and growing the company, but it also goes to us reinvesting, as I said, in our core strategy of keeping our existing properties fresh and clean and relevant.
Yeah. Okay, I know you're putting a new restaurant in into Red Rock, the chicken and
Federal Chicken and Donuts. So
I'm from the East Coast and I never heard of that, so I'm gonna have to try it though.
Yeah, it's from Philly.
And
super popular out there. We opened it this morning.
Yeah,
and I'm happy to report at 7:30 this morning there was a line of people I don't know if they were getting chicken sandwiches right. or donuts, but I suspect it was donuts. And what we're finding, Roger, is that the more we lean into non-gaming amenities, Las Vegas growing up as a city. So we all used to go to the Strip when we went out to eat. Now, the restaurant scene in the suburbs is quite dynamic. And we think we're driving some of that. So it used to be that you ran your own restaurants, and then it used to be that you tried to convince people to come out to our locations to operate. Now, it's become so successful and so popular that we're talking to the country's best restaurateurs. And you know, and Durango's a testament to that. James Beard award-winning chefs, restaurant companies that have over 150 units across the country are all interested in coming to our new developments. And so for us, what that means is they're doing food better than we ever could.
So, no question, So following the pandemic, you shut down Fiesta Henderson, Texas Station, Fiesta Rancho, and it sold the Palms. In hindsight, do you think those were the correct decisions?
Short answer, yes. Is it sad to see a property go that, that I actually worked at? Was it a tough decision for the company? You know, we're not in the business of closing assets, you know, but when you really look at the economics around it, our core thesis is to have our properties in high growth, high net worth areas around the valley near arterials. These properties were in the inner city, and they weren't really an economically viable areas. The areas were mature. There was no more growth opportunity in the areas. And it became burdensome to keep those operating at a profit. Secondly, it just happened to be that that was the peak of the real estate market. So when we closed those properties over COVID, one of the interesting stats that we figured out was that about 90% of our customer base migrated to an adjacent Station Casinos property. So for us, it was an opportunity to consolidate. It was an opportunity to take advantage of really good real estate prices at the time. And so we really reset our whole real estate portfolio for the next 10 years.
And people seem to forget also that, that you have the wildfire casinos as well. You know, a much smaller, almost a sports bar kind of type of locations. And they've absorbed some of those customers, I would imagine.
They did. So we kept the Fiesta Rancho, which is right next to Texas. And it's doing triple the profit that it was doing at the time. It's interesting you bring this up. So as Las Vegas grows, not only do we have large properties, but we have mid-sized properties. They're called small non-restricteds. They range anywhere from 35 units up to about 200. So these are great little kind of neighborhood casinos. And then we have recently started to get into the tavern business as well. And so I characterize the tavern business as really micro-market business, you know, within a 1 mile or half a mile radius of a community, you know. So we're finding great success in growing that part of the company as well.
Is that you opened a property downtown as well,
Yeah, on Fremont.
Yeah,
so we opened that. It's been almost a year last week.
So, and that's doing well?
Doing what we expected. So.
Great. So Red Rock is clearly your flagship. You know, it's a, you know, a large property with all kinds of amenities. Are you going to, some of these new properties, are you going to build it out to that extent, or are these going to be like a Durango-sized property?
Yeah, it depends on the property.
Yeah.
But just a fun fact, I was actually the founding or the opening GM 17 years ago at Red Rock. So we didn't do Red Rock all at once either. So we, you know, master planned that. All of our projects are master planned for multiple phases. So our strategy is to get in with a core product like we did at Durango. And then as the market develops and matures and we get through the first ramp, we're already planning phase two here at Durango, and we have a phase three. So one's more amenity driven and restaurant and gaming driven. The other side is more resort, hotel room, spa, meeting space driven. And that tends to be our formula, where we'll start with a core product that's more casino focused, add entertainment and visitation amenities, and then upgrade the hotel experience to a resort experience. We see that for Durango, And then as we're developing Inspirata over in the south, that has a master plan element to it as well.
Right, right, okay. So what's coming on next here at Durango? Are you going to build another hotel tower? Is this enough hotel rooms for you at this
point? It's a good question.
Yeah.
One we haven't figured out yet.
Yeah.
So what we've always said was we wanted to get Durango up and operating and get it kind of at an efficient operating mode, which we're busy doing, and I think we'll be done with that at least by, you know, year one.
Sure, sure.
To really see where we're at. The beauty is the company has so many options in front of it. So whether that's another phase at Durango, whether it's starting to break ground on our Inspirata project, there's a lot of options for us on the table. So certainly a Durango phase two is very high at the top of the list.
Right. Okay.
And that would be something that's more amenity based.
Sure.
You know, call it more a bowling alley or, some of these more adult-oriented amenities that drive entertainment visitation.
Right.
Probably an expansion of our food hall that's been such a great success. Maybe movie theaters.
Right.
We haven't decided yet. And then some more gaming space as well.
Okay, great, great. So let's talk about the sports book. As you mentioned, it looks different than all your other properties. You've got that George restaurant overlooking the sports book, and there's entertainment there as well.
Yeah, so sports in general,
race
and sports, has been a huge piece of local gaming.
Right.
And it still continues to be, although it's morphed over time.
Sure.
So it used to be that before 10 o'clock, you had to get down and
lay
down a bet,
right?
And you'd wait
and
in line.
Put the parking spaces close
to
the door there.
To get in there and get your bets down before 10 on a Sunday. Now you can do it with your phone,
right?
So that's changed what we've done. So we are the market share leader in mobile sports wagering in the city.
Right.
And so we're proud of that.
Right.
We have an incredible team. So we used to have Art Manteris work for us for years, who, you know, was a legend in sports wagering. But he trained up some young guys that are the best in the business.
Right.
They're aggressive. They are leaning into technology and innovation. We're leaning into more bet types and forms of wagering. And so two things have really happened. One, you have to keep up with your mobile product.
Right.
And these mobile products continue to advance in their complexity and the composition of bets. So we got off of a platform recently, and we're in field trial now on a mobile and bricks and mortar over the counter platform from GAN, which we think is the best in the market. The flexibility, the number of bets that you can compile, it's a great system. And that would be our platform for mobile wagering and mobile sports wagering. So we've implemented that to great success. So that's one thing. And then two, as race and sports books change in their format, people haven't gone away. So you would kind of think that, okay, no one goes to the race and sports book anymore because they can do it on their phone. They all go there to watch the games.
Right.
So even at Red Rock over football season, it's standing room only every Sunday.
Right.
We could use more capacity at Red Rock. But what we've done at Durango, which will be the new model going forward and retro, because we're redoing our race and sports book at Sunset to be this model, and it'll be done in a couple months here, fully redone. It's experiential. So it's a mix of, yes, there's a small over-the-counter, you can get a ticket, you know, and bet on a game, but it's very experiential, large format screens, great seating areas, an incredible bar where you can play video poker, watch a game, have a beer, and then a really compelling food and beverage and entertainment component with it as well.
Right.
So here at Durango with the George, which is partnered with Jonathan Fine, who has all the Parkway Taverns in town.
Right, right.
So we wanted to get a guy that understood the tavern restaurant business
right.
to do that. He's been a great partner. We do over 2,000 covers on a Sunday in the restaurant.
Yeah.
And Not only is it a race and sports area, but on the weekends, Fridays and Saturday nights, it puts a country band mm-hmm. out there or a different type of entertainment format. So it's really 7 days a week, and it's been a smash hit.
Sure, sure.
One of the surprises in the property.
Yeah, yeah, no question about that. So, you know, you've had a lot of experience with a lot of different companies. You were with Station, and, you know, when we met in Atlantic City, you were running Revel, and I like to credit you with putting them on a successful footing so that they could become what they are today, one of the leading properties in the city. And then you went to Macau, and so and then you come back to Station.
Yeah.
Give me the reason, you know, why you think this company is so special, and you came back to it after all those years.
Well, look, I think at the top of it, people follow people.
Yeah.
Okay. Frank and Lorenzo Fertitta mm-hmm. are the best in the business.
Yeah.
There's a founder mentality, which, you know, is a dwindling commodity
sure,
in our
right.
business. Their father started the business. They took the business on. And to work for people with a founder's mentality is exciting for me.
Right.
You know, we are together 6 days a week. We eat lunch together every day. Mm-hmm. We eat breakfast on Saturdays.
Right.
It's really a family style and culture, and that trickles down into the culture of the company.
Sure, right.
So that's one piece of it. Maybe I'm an adrenaline junkie, being an ex-ops guy.
Right.
But the level of execution, mm-hmm. The expectation for constant improvement that Frank and Lorenzo place on all of us is pretty exciting.
Right.
You know, you got to come to work every day with your A game. And we really care about what we're doing.
Right, right. And speaking of loyalty, you had just had Bob Finch retire after 40 years as chief operating officer.
That's right.
And he was here his entire career.
Yeah, so Bob is a shining example mm-hmm. about what I'm talking about.
Right.
Guy's been with the company for 40 years. There was no one better than Bob that emulated the
right.
culture, mm-hmm. the philosophies of the company. And he was purely, at his heart, a people manager. So Bob did his best work when he was in and among the team members, when he was working on team member programs. He was in large part responsible for this last 5 years where we really went in mm-hmm. and concentrated and revamped all of our team member platform.
Right.
And, you know, training, succession management training, compensation, benefits, all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. He's going to be missed. And so you know, there'll be a bit of a void in the company that
sure.
we'll all have to fill in his shoes.
Well, you brought some talented people on recently. Cord Nichols is going to replace Bob
That's
as
right.
COO. And then you brought Mark Tricano, formerly president of the Fountain.
Yeah. Program. So as I said, there's a high degree of execution in the company.
Right.
And it's a little bit like an NFL team,
right.
if you will. You know, we play every down, right?
Yeah.
You know, and we've got an incredible leadership team.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, we have Steve Cootey, who's an ex-Wynn and
right.
Las Vegas Sands executive, Jeff Welsh mm-hmm. as our executive counsel. The team is very good. Cord is a welcome addition.
Mm-hmm.
So he, again, is kind of a shining example of our company. So Cord started probably 15 years ago, if not more,
yeah.
as an analyst.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked his way up. He did slots.
Yeah.
You know, he was an assistant general mm-hmm. manager. He worked at most of our properties. He went to Grayton in the Bay Area,
right. mm-hmm.
The Tribal Project. And so, you know, he's worked his way up in our company, understands it, you know, very well, is passionate about what he does,
right.
and super excited to have him take on what's very important role in the company.
Yeah, sure.
And then Mark and I worked in Macau together,
mm-hmm.
And at some point in the past, Mark and I worked together at Station Casinos
sure.
as well.
Okay.
So this
He's another
is
one
a second tour. This is a second
okay.
tour for Mark as well. Incredibly smart guy, you know, very intuitive leader, a guy that has an incredible amount of background. And just started with us a couple weeks ago, and just fits like a glove.
Yeah, yeah, so. Great. So obviously, you want to convey this dedication to the workers here, to the employees, team members.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Well, look, we do it through our culture.
Mm-hmm.
We do it through being in the properties.
Mm-hmm.
We do it through leading by example.
Right.
Okay. We are humble. yeah. in our management approach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there's a piece of paper on the floor, if there's a cocktail glass at a slot machine,
right.
we pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we're in our properties on the weekends. And we try to be in our properties midweek.
Right.
We try to know everybody's name. You know, we are at the monthly P&Ls.
Mm-hmm.
So from the most senior leadership down, it's really about connectivity.
Right.
Right. And it's about not being in an ivory tower.
Right.
But being out in your business and being out there with your team members, knowing who they are, listening to what their needs are and reacting to it.
Right.
Really, that's how, as executives, we can, you know, mm-hmm. Put our best foot forward.
Okay. How do you interact with the GMs of the properties? How much control do they have over their own properties, over their marketing abilities and things of that nature?
Well, we like to think that it's collaborative.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if we asked our GMs, they'd probably like a little more control.
Right.
But I think most GMs would
right.
like it.
Sure.
We have incredible GMs.
Mm-hmm.
We are a company that has a founder mentality,
mm-hmm.
right? So when you have leadership like Frank and Lorenzo that know the business better
right.
than any of us, you know, corporate tends to want to be involved,
right?
Right?
Sure.
So I think it's a happy mix of both.
Yeah.
Most of our general managers have been with us a long, long time. We don't have a lot of turnover.
Sure.
And so from a day-to-day perspective, they run their properties. But you do have a leadership team at the corporate office that
sure.
actually likes to drive the car as well,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So it's a happy mix.
And a lot of the marketing campaigns are similar for every property. I know I get
yeah,
the mailers every month.
Yeah, you bring up an interesting point. It's not like we're a regional company that has different
right.
Properties in different states. All of our properties exist within, you know,
right.
the valley.
Yeah.
So we all have to have some kind of structure about, you know, alignment in
sure.
what we do so that we don't compete against
right.
ourselves.
Right.
So that does require a little bit more corporate attention
right.
than most companies.
Great, great. Well, Scott, you're doing a great job here, and certainly with Lorenzo and Frank guiding you. You know, we interviewed them a few years ago, and you know, great guys.
They are great guys.
Can understand why you enjoy working for them. And let's stay in touch so we can continue to look at these new properties when they open, because I'm sure there's going to be something new in every property.
I'd like that. It's
great.
Good to see you again.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
Imagination is a powerful deceiver.
Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast sponsored by iGaming Player, the premier affiliate marketing site that delivers quality players to your online casino, sportsbook, or poker room with transparency and integrity. To learn more about the topics we just discussed, visit ggbmagazine.com. Subscribe to GGB News to get all the news of the gaming industry delivered to your desktop every Monday morning. Sign up at ggbnews.com and use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.